At 10:40, Phil Dawson is going to join us. Phil, so excited to join us here on Baskin and Phelps that he's calling in right now. He's on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Phil, Jeff Phelps here, Andy Baskin over there. Good to have you with us.
Hey, Phil.
Man, what are y'all up to?
We're just talking about the deal. We were just talking about special teams. And then you called in. It was like you were listening from the heavens that you decided you'd drop in with us right now.
Man, y'all need something else to talk about if you're talking about special teams.
Well, we were talking about good things about special teams.
Wait a minute. You're not supposed to. You're the guy who's not supposed to say that.
I know. But I can say anything now that I'm done playing. See, that's the beauty.
Oh, hey, congratulations on being inducted into the Legends Club. That'll happen on Saturday, and the fans will get to watch that on Sunday at halftime. Just your thoughts about joining this elite group of men that have made the history for this team.
I mean, I'm struggling to find words. And the reason, I mean, obviously this would be special under any circumstance, but to go in for the team that I spent 14 years with, had the opportunity to build such relationships, not only in the organization, but around the city, kind of the love affair that I had for Cleveland and Cleveland has shown they have for me. When you add all that on top of it, it's almost too much to explain what it means. I'm honored that, I'm joining these men that I've gotten to know. I mean, I'm not just going into some club with a bunch of old dudes that I don't know. I mean, those 14 years in Cleveland allowed me to get to know, Doug Deacon, for example. I played with Cribbs and Joe Thomas and DeQuell Jackson, Eric Metcalf from the Texas days. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So I'm just honored to join those guys. And anytime I get a chance to come back to Cleveland is special, but especially this weekend.
Phil, how important is it that, we talk about the new Browns after 99 and we talk about the old ones pre-99, and to make sure that the history is blended together? And I think the Legends does a fantastic job of doing that and just, maintaining the history, and for you to be a part of this Legends being on the other side.
Yeah, that was our struggle in 99, kind of finding that piece. And that I've already mentioned Deacon, and I hate to give him compliments because he's such a knucklehead. But
I'm sure he will get you back on Saturday night. So.
Oh, yeah. But he really, I don't even know if he realized the role he played. He had access to our locker rooms with his media stuff, and he was always around. We could kind of ask questions about what were the glory days like, what were the old Browns like. And I'm feeling like now we're gaining traction on there's no more old Browns, new Browns. It's just Browns. And I can tell you as a player, when you put that orange helmet on, you don't think of yourself as a new Brown. You just say, I'm a Cleveland Brown. And that's what makes playing in Cleveland just so incredibly special.
Phil Dawson joining us. I want to go kicking specific on something. When you came into the league in 1999, when the Browns came back, your first year, your long field goal was 49 yards. Your second year, your long was 45. Your third year, it was 48. And then all of a sudden, you started booming the ball. And, you're hitting 55, 56 yarders. I mean, you added distance to your kicking on field goals. In the NFL now, and this is an amazing stat, so far this season, if you take out Justin Tucker, your fellow Texas Longhorn, guys are 35 of 37 on kicks of 50 yards or longer. First of all, how did you add distance? Second of all, what the heck is going on? 35 of 37.
All right, so that's a great question. If you go back those first couple of years, I really didn't try any over 50. So
coaches just didn't want to do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's always bugged me. You watch it on TV, and you'll see that yellow line they put on the field, like this is the kicker's range, and it's always based off his long kick. Well, that doesn't mean he can't kick it longer. That just means that's the longest he's made that he attempted. And so the reason I think you're seeing two answers to why guys now are kicking, quote, more 50-yard field goals. One, there's better kickers. Like, the human beings who are kickers now are better athletes. So that's one piece of it. But now that mentality, like my first couple of years, you can look around the league, no one really tried a lot of those longer kicks. It was more of a ground and pound mentality on offense, field position. We can't afford to miss one and hand it off to the other team, at the 40-yard line, that kind of thing. Well, now in today's NFL, that's completely flipped. Man, you cross the 50-yard line, we got 3 points because we got a better athlete playing kicker, and then just the whole mentality, let it rip. Let's try as many of those as we can. And pretty soon, it's, you know, you're already seeing it in Dallas a little bit, they're going to try 60 to 65 yarders.
Yeah.
The mentality's just changed.
Did you add distance, or was it strictly they just didn't want you kicking? Because, man, you were, what, 42 and you hit a 57-yarder. I mean, that's pretty serious.
Yeah, I think I definitely got stronger through the years. I think that showed up more in the kickoff game. I mean, my first ever field goal in high school was a 50-yarder. I mean, I had five over 50 in high school. So it was kind of – you can imagine – some of my anguish, frustration, and also kind of chuckling to myself when I heard in those early years, Dawson can't make it from 50 plus. I'm like, I've been doing this since middle school. Huh. So it really just came down to opportunity. And the other thing, when you play in Cleveland, especially before they kind of closed in the corners to the stadiums, I don't know that the wind blows quite as much in there as it used to, but you know, you had about 3-4 home games where you could hit a long ball. And then with the weather and the wind and all that kind of stuff, you just weren't, no one was banging touchbacks, no one was banging long field goals. And then, you know, so that hurt my opportunities as well. But as the years went by, I think the K-balls got a lot better. When they instituted the K-ball rule, those first couple of years, the balls were bricks. And so it was really tough. Well, now they let them break them in and get them nice. And I was, you know, I was able to experience that later in my career. Man, these balls are incredible. And everybody's like, oh, Phil, you're so much stronger than you used to be. How do you still do it? I'm like, I'm not kicking a brick. So it's a combination of things. It's a combination, but definitely the guys these days are better athletes. Snappers and holders are better. The mentality of coaches has changed. And so these guys are so good that when you give them opportunities, they're going to knock it down.
Phil, no disrespect to Dustin Hopkins, because we really like him, and I finally feel, this is the first time since you, that I feel comfortable that we have a kicker that can go out there and make a field goal. But let's be honest, if he misses an extra point or something in the first half, they're going to want you to give back your Legends jacket and go suit up in the locker room on Sunday.
We
you know
get,
that, right?
We will get phone calls.
And then you totally teased us when you were at high school practice, and you put that video out there. Was that last year?
Yeah, you know what I should have shown? The next 3 weeks where I was hobbling around the floor. So. We failed to put that part out there, but nah, Dustin, hey, it's about time y'all get another Texas boy up there who knows how to kick in the wind. I think there's something to that, but he is doing fantastic. I'm so fired up for him and the Browns and everybody. I mean, it's been hard, you know, these guys that have struggled, and every time they miss a kick, they hear about me. I've kind of felt like that's a little bit unfair to them, but Dustin just came in. He doesn't care. He doesn't care about the old guy from Texas. I'm just going to do my job. I'm going to knock down kicks for my team, and it's really fun to watch.
Should a team draft a kicker?
Yes.
How do you make sure you don't miss when you get guys who don't get drafted, like you, who are outstanding?
You gotta remember, when I came through, you know, it was pretty widely accepted that coaches could freely admit they know nothing about kicking. So that's why you get so many misses on who to draft. I mean, who in there knows the techniques? Who knows what to look for? All they really know is what the kid did in college. The ball either went in or went out. I think there's starting to be a growing trend in the NFL that, you know, whether it's a full-time employee or not, somebody in the building now has a little knowledge about what to look for. You know, it's kind of been pawned off to the special teams coach, but special teams coach is so much more than coaching the kicker. I mean, you got coverage units, protection units, you got all the substitutions, you got all the different things. And for the most part, kickers are just kind of sent over to the other field and go figure it out. So I think as more and more people become knowledgeable of, you know, look how scouts look at quarterbacks. They know all the techniques, they know the fundamentals, they know what to look for, and then they evaluate the player based off that. Well, when it comes to a kicker, if you don't have that same approach, yeah, you're going to miss a lot. You're going to draft a guy and he may not work out. So I hope it continues to grow in the right direction, but not every year will you draft a kicker. There's not 32 of them in the world. That's what people don't understand.
That's why
if there were 32 kickers in the world, you wouldn't have all the turnover.
That's a great line. It's true.
Hey, Phil, in the kicking world, I'm just curious about this. Did you, like, you and the punter are always out on an island, right? You guys are always just kind of hanging out. Did you have a punter that you, I don't want you to rate the punters, but was there one that was like your one of your closest friends that you would hang out with? You know,
the pride and joy of Dave Village.
There you go.
Dave Zassadil, baby. I mean, Dave and I had a very similar sense of humor, and that's how we dealt with the stress. I mean, y'all would be shocked some of the things we said to each other in the heat of the moment or before the game. In fact, I reached out to him this week and kind of joked about some of the things we used to say. I mean, we literally, I'll give you one. We're sitting there before some game. The weather's horrible. We're all freaking out. And we start talking about if we don't play well that day, we're going to be valeting at Lakewood Country Club. Yeah, I mean, just stuff like that. And then we'd be lining up for a kick. I'm like, how's that valet sound right now? Because I don't know if I can make this. And he'd start laughing. And we're in an NFL game in the middle of the heat of the moment talking about being a valet at Lakewood Country Club.
That's great.
But, yeah, that was a great one. Gardocki was my mentor. Unbelievable guy. I mean, I would not have gotten off and up and running in the league if it weren't for Gardocki. Maynard was a cool cat. Only had a year with him. Reggie Hodges was amazing. Really loved that guy. I mean, I was very fortunate to really be around good guys with my snappers and holders because that's who I hang out with most of the time. And the list of guys I didn't enjoy being around is very small.
The big ceremony coming up. Phil Dawson joining us. You and Jim Donovan going in together. What's that mean to you, Phil?
Holy cow. I mean, you know, it's special to go in with anyone, right? But to go in with someone that I hold in such high regard and have a personal relationship with, someone I consider a friend, someone who's been so supportive of me and my family, someone who literally called every game I ever played, you know, as a Brown, someone who represents our city, someone who means so much to our city. I mean, I hope the focus is on Jim Donovan this weekend. I mean, he deserves it. He has been, you know, his presence is synonymous with the Browns. And I can't even, just when you think a opportunity can't get any sweeter, you find out Jim Donovan's going in with you, and now it just blows the roof off. So I am beyond humbled to share this with Jim Donovan.
That's awesome. Phil, wonderful to talk to you. It was wonderful to talk to you when you played. I enjoyed covering you like crazy, and it's always great to have you as a member of
the Cleveland
family.
Can we go beat Dayball this weekend?
I hope so.
Can we go beat Dayball?
Yes, they might throw you back out on the field. You should probably bring some cleats with you. I'm just saying.
No, I mean, I do have to thank Dayball, though. When he was our OC, I got a lot of field goal attempts out of the deal. So there you go.
Wow. I can't wait for the rim shots coming up.
I love Dayball. I'm just messing.
Hey,
like
we'll
I said, I can speak freely now.
That's true.
Hey, you're right.
I can't wait till Saturday night. I'll see you Saturday. Thanks, Phil.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it, Phil. Phil Dawson, Browns legend, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.